Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here, and today we're going to be talking with you about how to replace non-native garden plants with those native plants that we have in our area. And our guest today, Charlotte Edelman, knows a lot about it. She's a native plant gardener, author of The Prairie Directory of North America, the United States and Canada, and The Midwestern Native Garden, a guide to native alternatives to non-native flowers and plants. You may have some questions for her, and I hope you'll join in the conversation today. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Charlotte Edelman, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to this.
How did you come to replace non-natives with native plants in your own garden?
Well, it's sort of a long story, but I can kind of boil it down to a couple of what I called epiphanies. I saw, like, for example, a goldfinch, brilliant yellow goldfinch, picking seeds out of a beautiful purple coneflower as I was taking a walk, and I realized that was like a mini prairie scene, and I could possibly recreate that in my own backyard, which is exactly what my husband and I eventually did. We took up all the lawn in the backyard. It's a large backyard, which is why we bought the house, actually, which was a very small house because we wanted a garden, and replaced it. I got the help of a prairie expert at that time, and we replaced it with native prairie, and it's really native savanna because there are quite a number of trees in it. So that might help answer the question.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful area. What, you know, there are so many advantages to native plants. Maybe you can talk about a few that stick out most in your mind.
Well, there's some that are very important on a practical level. I mean, because these plants evolved in our area, the Midwest, for thousands of years, the ones that didn't do that well have, you know, disappeared. They died out. They went extinct. The ones that we have with us today are very adapted to our area, to the climate. Even as the climate is changing, the climate has changed in the past, and these plants have weathered periods when it was hot and dry, when the prairie actually extended several thousand years ago virtually to the Atlantic Ocean, and then the weather changed, the climate changed again, and it receded back to its current border. So these plants have been through it all. So they're very well adapted to survive and do well in the Midwest. Then from another point of view, which is one of my main interests, is that the butterflies, for example, and moss that co-evolved along with the plants, they have, are 90% of them can only basically reproduce on the vegetation that they co-evolved with. That includes trees, shrubs, flowers, grasses, sedges. And when we plant all these beautiful plants from Asia and Europe, these butterflies and moths are unable to lay their eggs on those plants because their caterpillars cannot digest the vegetation that grew so far away. And it will take another few thousand years for them to adapt. So if we want to have our butterflies and moths, which we see more at night, we have to start planting our native plants. And, of course, the big example is the monarch butterfly. That's like, you know, the one that we all know about that only lays her eggs on native milkweed plants. So, you know, if we don't have milkweeds for the monarch butterfly, we will not have any monarch butterflies. So that's one important reason. Another reason is that the birds in our area, basically 96% of them feed their baby birds insects. Even birds that eat fruit and birds that eat seeds, while they are raising their babies, they feed them insects and primarily caterpillars, which are the larvae of the butterflies and moths.
And great protein sources.
Exactly. And so as we lose our butterflies and moths, then we lose the protein, big protein source that these baby birds must have to survive, and then there are fewer birds. And I don't know, I noticed that my husband and I have a place in Wisconsin. We also have our main home in Illinois. And, I mean, over the many years, I have observed the diminishment of birds and of butterflies. So I feel that I personally can say that. But that's statistically the case anyway. I mean, it's just not, no one has to debate it. One can look it up. So it's so easy for us to plant native plants. I mean, they do well, they're beautiful, and we have to insist that the people who sell plants sell us the native plants that always grew here.
Well, that's the kind of the good thing about your book, and I want to get into that because you really have very specific and wonderful examples of, if you've got a certain non-native plant that you like, here are some native alternatives that are going to do you just as well or better.
Well, that was the idea, because so many people, you know, would say to me, well, you know, they agree theoretically, yeah, you know, I want to have native plants, but, you know, I just adore my whatever from Japan or from England or whatever the source of that particular species is. And so I started trying to create a list of native alternatives so people could have something. Sometimes they're virtually identical, and sometimes they give the same effect. And so that was the reasoning behind my book, and our book, because my husband is responsible for all the illustrations and, you know, definitely a major factor in this book. So that was the idea, and I think that we succeeded pretty well, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And placed the concept in people's minds. Other people may have different choices, but the point is that an iris, for example, from Germany or from Japan, there's also native irises. I mean, most plants have a corresponding native alternative, and maybe some compromises have to be made. I mean, not everything can be the exact color. Everyone wants it, but basically, one can have a gorgeous plant garden, flowers, native grasses instead of these Asian grasses that have become so popular that you see them everywhere in every shopping center, even in parks. I'm always sort of surprised.
No.
And trees, you know, so the whole thing can be comprised of native plants that are just as beautiful or more beautiful than the non-natives.
You mentioned milkweed a little bit earlier, and Carl in Junction City has a comment or question about milkweed. Carl, hi.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes. We have kind of a unique situation here. We're an Organic Valley grass-based farm, and so I graze right now. It would be about 400 acres, and we collected some milkweed seed last fall, and we also have an aquaponic system that my son grows tilapia and fresh greens all year round, and I'd like to start some of those seeds. And I'm having trouble finding when to start them, so I don't start them too early and things like that. And I just wondered if you had some tips for me.
Right.
Well, I'll do the best I can on that. You say you start them. You mean you start them indoors?
Well, we'll start them, like, in the aquaponics room. What we do is we have plugs that we put in a tray,
and then they
sit in the water, and, you know, that sprouts the plant, and then I can then transplant it either into a peat pot, or I can, you know, many different options.
Sure.
So what is it you're going to do with them? Plant them outdoors in your property or sell them or what?
Yes.
Okay. So for planting them outdoors, what do you reckon? When would he start them?
Well, from my experience, I would say when you gather them, when they're actually, you know, mature seeds, you plant them under a thin layer of earth, and of course you have to make sure that you mark where the area is. I don't know the extent of your, you know, planting project, because milkweeds do come up late. That is one of their characteristics, and so people sometimes think they're not going to come up, but they will. You know, if they're going to come up, they will come up, but they'll be late, and then they'll grow there. Hopefully.
You can just leave them right in the ground instead of starting them in pots inside.
I do, but, you know, I'm not a grower, so.
Yeah, understood. I you know, that's kind of how I've got my milkweed plants in my property. And I'm pretty sure Jennifer Dargan's did it the exact same way. We're talking today, and the reason I mentioned Jennifer is she just came wandering into the studio. Charlotte Edelman is our guest today, and she is the author, along with her husband, of The Midwestern Native Garden. But Jennifer has a good reason for being here, because she wants me to, wants to help me talk to you about raising money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like this one. So we hope you're going to give your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Jennifer, how are we doing?
Hi, Larry. We're doing well. We are just starting the new hour, and last hour we had heard from 29 listeners, so we want to say a big thank
That's
you
great.
To everyone that pledged. Now, this hour, our goal is to get 35 new pledges, and you can help. You can help that by making your gift right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And this is a big year for us at WPR. It's our centennial
yes.
year. Oh, man, give the next 100 years a strong start, won't you? Your support helps ensure a bright future for the Wisconsin Public Radio programs you rely on every single day.
Right. Make your pledge and say, Happy Birthday, WPR. You really enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial-free. And so that means we depend on different sources of funding, state, federal, corporate funding. They're all really important. But there's another source that's very important, too, right, Larry?
Yeah, you bet. The single largest piece of the budget pie comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of our funding, so I hope you'll make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hey, this is a fun fact. More than 20,000 WPR members are sustaining members. That is so
That's
cool.
Amazing.
That has grown and grown and grown over the years, and they really provide a steady and reliable stream of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can join their ranks by choosing, I don't care the amount. Maybe it's $10 a month. Setting it up on an ongoing basis, it's the best way to support the station you rely on. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing. You could win a WPR fandom package full of top-notch electronics, WPR swag, and tickets to a WPR event. When you give, you're automatically entered. But you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now. Details are online at WPR.org.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan, here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program, Garden Talk program, on the air. Whether your pledge is $5 a month, or some people are giving $100 a month, we appreciate and count on your gift.
And we don't say it enough, but thank you so much just for the simple act of spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. Whether you found us by scanning through your dial or maybe a friend recommended it, you're still tuned in because you're liking what you're hearing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And because you like what you hear, we hope you'll help pay for our WPR listening. Absolutely. You choose an amount. $5 or $10 a month, $20 a month, you know, whatever is comfortable for you. Become our next new member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network keeps you informed and entertained every day of the year. You enjoy this program, of course, and then also you get the Kathleen Dunn Show, Chapter a Day, Joy Cardine, Science Friday, so many others that you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. I hope you'll support the exciting mix of shows you enjoy on this station with your contribution. Do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. How are we doing?
We're doing well. We've got two pledges in so far, so we're looking for 33 more. And I always want to tell you, we got a comment from someone who pledged named Jackie. And Jackie says, I have listened to the Ideas Network for years. Currently, Larry Mueller is my go-to guy for information on gardening and pet care. Love him. Wanted to support the network with what I could. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thanks,
and
Jackie.
I know you're not alone. How about you next? Give to WPR to support the station that you love, your public radio.
And thank you if you've already given. And if you haven't, you can help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And this donation process is easy. It just takes a few minutes, and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month, will get you on your way.
And that donation will come back to you every single day in the form of great programs. So show your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
A gift to Wisconsin Public Radio is really like a gift to your entire community. You enjoy this radio station, and so do so many others.
Make your pledge right now for yourself and for the rest of your community at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Join your friends and your neighbors who believe in the value of WPR and believe in supporting it. It takes the support of really everyone who listens to make Wisconsin Public Radio as good as it can be.
And when you make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure that the news and information you need is here every single day.
We need 33 more pledges, and we've got about 40 minutes to get them. It's a good start, but we really need you to help out right now. 2017 marks 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio, and listeners, you make it all possible. Your gift today helps ensure a really bright future for the programs that you rely on every day. So please make your centennial gift right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm going to get me one of those new t-shirts. They are really cool looking. And this pledge drive, as you're listening in, you can ask for your WPR t-shirt. Show your pride for the radio you love when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Don't forget, when you give, you're also entered in the drawing for the WPR fan package.
Right. And this, with this t-shirt, I'm not going to try to describe the design on it, but go check it out at WPR.org.
Yeah, really,
it's very cool. So think about that. And now is a really great time. You could become a sustaining member. It's really easy to set up, convenient ongoing monthly donations from either your bank account or your credit card. Just do whatever works for you. Get started right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Next week on Garden Talk, we'll take a look at growing organic vegetables, berries, and herbs in our colder climate here in Wisconsin. So I hope you can join us for that. Right now, though, we're taking a look at native alternatives to non-native plants with our guest, Charlotte Edelman, co-author of The Midwestern Native Garden, an illustrated guide. And believe me, it's very well illustrated. Great to have her along. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Dan in Sparta with a question. Hi, Dan. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I'm wondering, what are some options for native plants that are beneficial to honeybees, and the honeybees would be beneficial to the native plant?
Well, any plant that produces nectar and honey, native plant, is beneficial to honeybees. They're a pretty generalist bee. I mean, there's some bees that are very specialist, you know, and only can utilize the pollen or nectar from a very specific plant. But that's some of our native bees. But the honeybees are much more generalist.
So
if you plant a beautiful native garden with just all kinds of flowers and grasses and trees and shrubs, I mean, you'll be doing your honeybees a big favor.
Yeah, so you need plants with flowers that flower.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are going to do
I'm
the
just
best.
I'm wondering, is there any more that are more beneficial than another, or just in general, any flowering
well,
plant?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert on honeybees. I'm sure you could find some information about that on the web, but it might interest you to know that there are some plants that only have nectar and don't have any, I mean, only have pollen and don't have any nectar. So they only attract bees and not butterflies. So I don't know if that makes a difference, but something to keep in mind.
What would be an example of one or two of those?
Let's see if I can find it now. I always have to look at my book because... let's see. Queen of the Prairie is an example. Are you familiar with that plant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's a beautiful, gorgeous plant, but when butterflies come by, they're very disappointed because it doesn't produce any nectar. But your bees will be very happy.
All right. So there's one good example, Dan, and thanks very much for calling. I want to give Chris in Wisconsin Dells a chance to join us. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Sustaining member, and congratulations on the success of the fund drive. And I just want to tell people that with all the garbage going on in the universe right now, that little bit of money that comes out of my checking account every month makes me feel good. It's like kittens playing in your house.
I love that.
A little bit of joy in your life that you can feel good about. I had an experience dealing with a 4 acres of sod that belonged to a church, and they were having trouble mowing it, and it was really a problem. And so I suggested that they put in a prairie garden, and that didn't happen because of health problems with the congregation and what have you. But we had to approach the lot was inside the village, and we had to approach the council for getting permission to do this because basically wanted to tear the whole yard up. And there are certain regulations when you're inside a city that you don't have to pay attention to when you're out in the country. But we got a free gift from, I started getting into the network of people, and there are all kinds of people in the state that are interested in doing this. And you can get free information and sometimes free volunteers and sometimes free seed. And so anyway, we got a free map from one of the people that runs one of the prairie nurseries. He did this because his father was a Lutheran pastor, and so he took an aerial photo of the lot and mapped us all out so that we had a professional person backing us, and we got permission to do it. And I think if you want to do it inside a city, you're going to have to probably get some. So if you could talk about the regulations. And can I just tell you a little bitty nature story that's really wonderful?
Sure.
Because you get all kinds of animals in your yard that you weren't anticipating dealing with. I was putting in a garden in another place, and I went to a nursery, and I said, I want plants specific for the bees and the pollinators and the butterflies and the hummingbirds. And so I set this garden up. Mostly it was just on a picnic table. And early in the spring, I got a couple of yellow swallowtails in the yard, and I was planting dill for them and what have you, so the caterpillars would have something to eat and the flowers were there. And then the hummingbirds came in. And in the fall, I'm not kidding you this, I didn't make this up, those two swallowtails landed on my picnic table and let me pet them. And then when the hummingbirds, the day that the hummingbirds are flying out, they landed right outside my patio door. And I've never seen this happen before. I was like a foot away from them. And they just sat there. They were saying thank you.
Oh, that's a very cool story. Isn't it, Charlotte?
Oh, it is.
Oh, I love that story. Well, how does your, how does that 4 acre plot look now?
We never planted it because the pastor got sick.
Oh.
And, yeah, and he had to retire. And so they're selling the church. If anybody wants to buy a church, there's a church in Poinette for sale.
Oh, I'm so sorry that happened. But a plot like 4 acres, Charlotte, you can do a lot with 4 acres.
Well, here's what my story is about something similar. I live in Wilmette, Illinois, and I approached the park district in Wilmette and asked them if they would permit me to turn a park district detention basin, which was created to capture rain, but mainly water from a nearby swimming pool, if that happened. I asked them if I could turn that into a wetland prairie, and they gave me permission. And so with the help of the Boy Scouts, we and the park district and me, we eventually turned it into a 2-acre, not 4, but I wish it were 4, 2-acre native prairie. It's a created prairie, and, you know, it's in the detention basin, and then there's a big border of upland plants around it. And I had the same experience as your caller in that, you know, you put it out and they will come. I mean, it was just amazing to me that butterflies just arrived, you know, and that was before the monarchs were in such big trouble. They laid their eggs, and we had caterpillars and even pupa, and it was just, it's gorgeous. It's, you know, every year it gets more beautiful. So I recommend, and we did it with the interior with seeds. The wetland part we did with seeds, and then the outer part we did with plugs, native plant plugs. And, I mean, it's just so beautiful, and there's very minimal maintenance. I mean, once a year the park district mows it, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Chris, thank you again for calling. I really appreciate your call. Sylvia in Appleton, it's your turn next. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. I'm so glad you have this program, and this is a plug for planting native plant species. Just want to read this quick. This is from Payette, Idaho. A herd of about 50 pronghorn antelope has been found dead after feeding on the same toxic shrub that killed elk in the area. The Japanese yew, or Taxus cuspidate, is a common landscaping shrub, and it is
terrible for antelope.
It's toxic to elk, moose, horses, dogs, and humans. It's a common landscaping plant, so plant native.
Yeah. Good suggestion there, isn't it, Charlotte?
Well, I certainly agree wholeheartedly. Definitely. There's just so many benefits, you can hardly name them all. Can I mention now that another book that will be coming out that my husband and I have written, it's also published by Ohio University Press, is Midwestern Native Shrubs and Trees, Gardening Alternative to Non-Native Species, which is a little bigger than the Midwestern Native Garden. It's it lists and, you know, has the native, non-natives with alternative native shrubs and trees. And it was just a fascinating book to research and write. So I'd like your, you know, listeners to be aware of that, too.
Yeah, and it's in the style of the Midwest Native Garden.
It is. It's the same format, and it's a companion book. Yeah, as you noticed, what we did in our native plant book is first the non-native plants, then the suggested native alternatives, and then nature notes, which provide information about the butterflies and moss.
We lost Charlotte there temporarily. We'll get her back on here. In the meantime, to the rescue comes Jennifer Dargan, who has floated back into the room. We've been talking about plugs. Well, we're here to plug them.
Yes.
The winter membership drive. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And certainly we'll get back to Charlotte very quickly here. But first, Jennifer's here to help me encourage you to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs you count on. And where are we standing
here? I like how you said that right now very, very clearly, and so people know what to do, because we are looking for 24 more pledges in the next 25 minutes. So we really do need your help right now to stay on track this hour. Your support keeps WPR strong, and it helps pay for the Larry Mueller Show. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I bet you've been enjoying this conversation about native plants with our guest, Charlotte Edelman. And I think it's an example of the kind of programs we do every Friday on Garden Talk. And really, if you want to think about it, the programs we do every day from 11 to 12:30, conversations we have on this show, I think, are informative and help a lot of people.
They absolutely do. So now we're asking you to take a few minutes to make this hour and so many more hours possible. You can just choose a gift amount that works for you. We're not saying it has to be $100 or $10 or $1,000. Whatever works for you works for us at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I just took a look, and we've had 11 pledges so far this hour, and six of them are new, and that's great. If you've never pledged to WPR before, today you can find out how it feels.
It feels great. It really does.
It does.
I talk to so many people back when I'm working in our Pledge Central, and they just have joy in their voices. And I've never heard someone describe pledging to WPR like the caller did a few minutes ago, like kittens playing in your house. That's my new favorite one. Why don't you join all of our members at Wisconsin Public Radio that make what we do possible with your maybe your very first pledge ever. It could be $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount is right for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I have been around a long time, but WPR has been around even longer.
Yes,
and we've been around a long time because we're committed to quality, I think. And since listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution really makes this program possible and all the other programs on the Ideas Network. You are part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR when you donate. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I have definitely bought some crazy clothes.
It's a little thing, you wind it up and it goes across the top of the table. She broke it in the first 5 seconds.
Silliest thing. It was Kahlua.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you missed the place to go, right now you can pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan asking for your support of WPR during this winter membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And we are so proud and excited that it's our 100th birthday at Wisconsin Public Radio this year. And I can say things have changed dramatically in those 100 years. And while times are still certainly changing, WPR's commitment to the service and the access opportunity for everyone to listen to quality radio, it remains at the core of our mission.
We can't wait to see what the future holds, mm-hmm. and there's one thing we do know. Your support makes the vital, trustworthy information you rely on every day possible. WPR exists only thanks to your help. So make your centennial gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, we got a couple of calls since I gave the last update. So now we're down to 21 pledges needed in the next 20 minutes. We can do this mm-hmm. with your help. Your gift is so important right now. Support the programs that you rely on every day.
And thanks so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Everything you hear on the Ideas Network is a result of really thoughtful preparation. Larry is so knowledgeable and so humble. Often we talk about that he knows so many of these answers that our guest experts are asking, you know, that are being asked to answer just from, you know, doing this for so many years and from doing his homework and getting ready for the show. We do our homework so that you get the highest quality radio programs. Show your commitment to this kind of quality. Commit now when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we really work on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs you enjoy possible. So how about a pledge right now of $10 a month?
It could be $10 a month. You decide the amount, then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We said $10 a month. You might be wondering, well, I don't know about 10. Maybe mm-hmm. I could do 20, or maybe I could only do 5. Yeah, whatever, that's up to you. Your contribution, any amount, will be turned into great programs, programs that will keep you informed and entertained all year long.
So make your pledge right now at any amount, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552. And when you do, you're going to play an essential part in funding the programs that you count on every day.
So here we are, 19 more pledges to go in about 19 minutes or so. So we're moving along, but we still need some help. This is the first drive of our centennial year. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. gives us a strong start to the next 100 years.
Mm-hmm. And head on over to WPR.org right now and check out the design on this new t-shirt that we have to offer you this pledge drive. It's really cool. It shows connections of the dots of all the towers and transmitters we have around the state, and it's a very neat design. It's yours when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And don't forget, your gift of any amount is also your chance to win a WPR fan package. And there's more details about that online as well.
You know, I like the color of this one. Every time we have a new t-shirt, it's a different color. And I kind of like this dark blue that we have. And then with the light blue diagrams and so forth on it. It's really quite...
I already ordered mine, I'll tell you.
What about sustaining members? Do they get to get one too?
They could, yeah. If you haven't had a thank you gift in the last year, you can just call without increasing your donation, without changing a thing, and ask for a t-shirt, and you can be proud to wear this shirt and proud of your sustaining support to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now, of course, you could choose to increase your support of Wisconsin Public Radio by a couple dollars a month, but whatever you choose, you can get it taken care of at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On this edition of Garden Talk, we're taking a look at native alternatives to non-native plants with our guest, Charlotte Edelman, native plant gardener, author with her husband of the book, The Midwestern Native Garden, an Illustrated Guide. It's great to have her along, and thank you so much for listening in. We'll take some more calls, Charlotte. Let's go to Bridget in Sister Bay next with a question. Hi, Bridget. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I have a question concerning native plants. I live in the woods, and I would like to know what native plants can I plant to attract birds?
Mm-hmm. Well,
there are lots of there are lots of alternatives for that.
You probably know a lot of them because I'm hearing what you're quite expert. I mean, there are beautiful spring flowers that are you familiar with some of the woodland spring flowers?
Not really. No.
No. Well, there are many of them, and they bloom early in spring. Most of them are ephemerals, then they die to the ground. And during the brief period that they're blooming, they attract tiny little early insects, and those are the insects that the birds come to catch and feed their baby birds. Because, as I mentioned before, nesting birds feed their baby birds insects. And so the insects early in spring many of them are going to be attracted to these wild, flowers that grow in woody, shady areas like you're discussing, right?
Right.
Virginia bluebells, are you familiar with Virginia bluebells?
I'm writing all of this down, so I am not a gardener, so I need your help.
Yeah.
Well, okay, this is just the kind of a quick, not a total list by any means. Of course, there's toothworts are another pretty little native plant that grows in the shade, and violets. Violets are very important little plants in early spring.
Okay.
And they're very pretty in the early spring as well.
Oh, they're beautiful. I mean, woodlands full of the early native wildflowers are just spectacular.
Yeah.
And then later in the season, woodlands don't have as many flowering plants as sunny areas do, but there are species that do grow. I don't know if I can just, access thinking of them at the moment, but there's also shrubs that produce flowers and fruits and seeds. And a lot of woodland native grasses, for example, that you could be planting, which would provide seeds for the birds. And there's like the woodland sunflower. It's a sunflower that has, likes some shade, and it obviously produces seeds, sunflower seeds. And so there's all kinds of, you really have to do a little research. You might also get some of these catalogs of some of the native plant nurseries and take a look at them. They're very helpful. They provide information about different species that grow in different kinds of areas, sunny, shady, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And there are some some organizations as well that do a very nice job of supplying that kind of information. You can often get it online, as a matter of fact, which I think is useful too. And UW Extension has a publication on attracting birds and insects to your landscape, and you might take a look at that. It's a free publication at the learningstore.uwex.edu. And that's another place to look as well, Bridget. And Richard in McHenry, Illinois has a question for you, or a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Richard.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I live in northern Illinois, but I also have a residence on a lake in Montello, Wisconsin. Two things. About 15 years ago, I had to plant native plants, and when I said I had to, it was you had to earn mitigation points in order to modify your cottage on the lake, and part of that was to put in native plants, which I was happy to do. My one thing, a word of wisdom here, is that one of the native plants is cup plant.
Mm-hmm.
They grow about 4 to 6 feet tall.
Right.
Plant them. Do not plant them. They are extremely invasive. Even in northern Illinois, we have conservation districts, and they planted some. And it's probably about a 10 to 15 acre part of their conservation area. It's just been totally taken over. It's very hardy, very vigorous. Unfortunately, it just wipes out your other native plants.
Well, you know, I'm very familiar with cup plant, you know, and it is aggressive. So it's one of those plants that one has to carefully choose where you're going to plant it. You know, I mean, it's perfect. First of all, I mean, in the wild, it would grow where it would grow, and it would have competition from other plants, and it would all sort itself out. Because we've cut up the native, original ecosystem so much, you know, that the whole, some of the competing plants aren't there anymore to keep like a plant, like cup plant, in its place, you might say. But it's a wonderful plant in people's home landscapes and so forth if one is prepared to, if it gets too big, to, you know, cut it back or dig out some of the extra roots. I mean, I've had cup plants in my backyard for 40 years, and they have not expanded particularly. So, you know, it just depends on the site. I mean,
yeah.
I totally agree with you that there is, you know, what you've described. But, you know, there's also other situations. So people have to make wise choices when they're going to choose any.
Well, like I said, I worked through the county conservation district and also the. But see, like 15 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of experience with the native plantings and, you know, the balance between them.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, things have changed a lot in the last few years.
One of the surprises I had when I put all these plants in, which I did by hand, and then I mulched them all, and then the county came out and said, that's good, but you have to remove all the mulch. And it was a beneficial thing to do because I didn't realize the plants needed to reseed themselves.
Well, if you want them to, yeah. And, of course, now one of the problems is with some of the wood chips and so forth is that they are carrying earthworms, which are non-native, and the earthworms are starting to destroy our woodlands and forests.
And there are some non-native, well, most of the worms in Wisconsin are non-native, I guess. We now have also jumping worms that...
Oh, I know. Yes, and we now have them where I live, too. It's the latest thing that just moved in, and no one knows what to do about it. There are a lot of challenges.
When it comes to any type of gardening, let alone, well, be it native or non-native plantings, that's absolutely true. Charlotte Edelman, our guest today here on the Ideas Network, as we talk with her about native alternatives to non-native plants. And I don't know, are you a non-native, Jennifer Dargan, or are you a native Wisconsinite?
No, I'm from Canada, so I guess I'm a non-native plant.
But she's a good non-native plant.
Yeah.
She is really a good one because she does wonderful work around here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And one of the things she does is to help me talk to you about our Radio Winter Membership Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this native alternatives to non-native plants topic as long as we can. Your support makes that happen, so I hope you'll give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Happy news. We are down to two more pledges to go for the hour. So you could be the hero. You and one other person could be the hero. Give to WPR to support the station you love. We just have about six more minutes left for this goal. It's your public radio station. Take care of it right now.
And you can do that by going to WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much if you have already given. If you haven't, help pay for the programs that you enjoy by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, this is a fun thing that I learned. Master gardeners can actually get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk.
That's so cool.
That just goes to show what a really, truly valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners like you. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or whether you're a novice.
We have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions, whether it's about fruit trees, organic gardening, rose bushes, native plants, non-native plants, many other topics. So let's talk about fertilizer. Apply a little fertilizer to the program right now.
Oh, that's good.
Making your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And maybe your WPR listening is worth $4 a day, then you can become a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $100 a month or $1,200 a year to support WPR programs, and that works out to less than $4 a day.
Think about the value you've been getting from WPR in the past year and consider a contribution that puts you in that 9XM Leadership Circle. Sustain the future of Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your leadership gift right now at WPR.org at 888-202-2552.
2017 marks WPR's first 100 years of broadcasting. And even though some of your favorite shows weren't around in 1917, what if they were?
Tom Clark here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor. And Zorba, tell us about our topic today.
Well, we're going to talk about vitamins. These are newfangled things. Do they really exist, or is this just another form of quackery? And could this recent discovery change how we combat scurvy and rickets?
Vitamins, never heard of them. I'll stick with my snake oil, thank you. Okay, what's today's recipe?
Mocktails. The way things are going, alcohol might not be around much longer, so we've got you covered for possible drier days ahead.
Cheers to that.
Okay, so maybe Zorba Pastor on your health wasn't around to cover 1917, but we've been through a lot in our first 100 years. And it's all thanks to listeners like you. Here's to the next century of broadcasting. Help build our future now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In case you missed that, make your donation right now at WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program on the air. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
We do. And when you give today, become a sustaining member. I can tell you as a proud sustaining member myself how it works. You're going to give a monthly amount, say $10 a month, $15 a month, whatever amount works for you. And then that automatically comes out of your bank account or your credit card, and your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and this means we can depend on you the way you depend on us day in, day out, year in, year out, and you're in control. You can change your giving at any time. It's a convenient way to give, and it's really helpful to WPR. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really easy to spend more money than I realize during the course of a day.
Oh, yeah.
Grabbing a cup of coffee and like, oh, maybe a latte sounds good. Mm-hmm. Instead, lunch, newspaper, it all adds up to a lot of money over the course of a month.
You also listen to WPR every day. It's just as important as those other daily things you enjoy. So spend a little money on it.
Pledge your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can help pay for the programs you depend on. And, you know, we've been looking for 35 pledges for this hour, and here we are at 37 pledges. So
we're doing really well.
We're doing really well. It's always, it often happens on Garden Talk. We have so many faithful listeners. And thank you so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, I hope you'll do it right now. Support the programs you enjoy at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Right. When you first turned us on, it was Wisconsin Public Radio. You joined our community as a listener. Maybe you started tuning in every day. And then after a while, we want you to start thinking about becoming a donor and joining the community as a donor. Fund the great programs on WPR because it's a group effort. We can't do it alone.
Yep, we do this together, one pledge at a time, a dollar at a time. If you've never given before, you could start with a donation of $5 or $10 a month. Easy to set up. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Hey, this is the Procrastinators Unite time because you might be saying, I'm going to pledge next time, or I'm just going to get it taken care of some other time. This is your last chance to show your support for this program during this membership drive. So take advantage of it right now. Don't delay.
Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest, Charlotte Edelman, who is an expert on native alternatives to non-native plants. She's and her husband have written the Midwestern Native Garden, an illustrated guide, talking with her about those plants. Jennifer Dargan still with us with some good news here, Jennifer.
Right. We had a great, great hour last hour, but this hour, we have something really exciting. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. So we want to get right back into the show and talk a little bit more about native plants. But first, we want to let you know that this match is going on until 12:30, and it's from current members, and it means that they will match every dollar that you give. So make your donation, if you haven't already, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Charlotte Edelman with me right now. You can join in, too, if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234. Charlotte, Kristen on Facebook would like to know what kind of plants you would recommend to replace hostas.
Good question. Before I answer that, could I just quickly make another comment?
Sure.
In line with what your couple of your other questioners had asked, there's an organization called Wild Ones, which has their offices in Appleton, Wisconsin. They have many chapters, and they're all about native plants, and they are a very good source of information and support, and they have a wonderful publication. So that's a very good resource for anyone interested. And then that other caller wanted to know about shade-loving plants, and an interesting idea are some of the shade-loving goldenrods, like blue-stem goldenrod and zigzag goldenrod, and native goldenrods happen to be the herbaceous plants that support the most butterfly and moth species for laying eggs. They support 115 butterfly and moth species, giving them the opportunity to lay eggs on the goldenrod plants. So they're very, very good for our environment. And as far as the hosta question, let me see here what okay, here's some good examples. There's sedges. Some sedges are look quite similar to hostas. There's seersucker pledge. It's also called plantain sedge. There's other sedges, too, and they can serve exactly the same purpose that a hosta does. They can be short. They can do well in a sort of shady environment, which is where hostas are generally planted. Of course, we know hostas are from China and Japan, and these are native sedges. Those are really good plants, and sedges are very important because they are the host plants for
many, many skipper butterflies. Then another good alternative is, as I was mentioning to another caller, bottle brush grass, which is a very decorative grass. It grows in clumps, and it looks great. It gives the instead of a hosta, you can have a bottle brush grass, which is much prettier, and the foliage doesn't wither away like the hostas do, and they kind of persist over winter, and the birds eat the seeds, and they do well in shade, and so do river oats, or sometimes they're called northern sea oats, or another decorative woodland native grass that can do be an alternative. Other alternatives are various grasses. If a lot of people have their hostas in the sun, even though they don't do very well there. And so for those hostas, it would be nice to put in like a prairie drop seed native grass.
Yeah, that's pretty grass.
Yeah, and there's alum root. I have a whole list here, baneberry, bee balm, Boltonia, some of the rushes. Wild ginger is a great ground cover that likes, you know, needs shade, Culver's root. Golden Alexanders are a beautiful spring-blooming yellow flower that do nicely in the shade. Foam flower.
The list goes on, doesn't
there's
it?
There's a long list. Turtlehead is a great alternative because it's a plant that does well in shade, and, of course, it hosts butterflies, and it has beautiful flowers, and it's got excellent leaves.
It's got a good name to it. It's a very descriptive name, as a matter of fact.
It does. It's really kind of funny. So, I mean, there are, and that's one of the things people kind of fall back on hostas because, well, they're so easy and they're there, but they really just sit there doing nothing to help the environment. They're not from our area. They're from Eurasia, so they don't host any butterflies, and they are not much of a nectar source. I mean, compared to like native plants. So that's just a start. You know, there are lots and lots of alternatives. Some short bushes could be used.
You know, earlier you mentioned goldenrod as you were talking, and Dan in Brooklyn has a question relating to goldenrod, I believe. Dan, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thank you very much. My wife and I put a prairie in several years ago. We prepped the ground by basically killing everything for 3 years so it was sterile when we had it planted.
Right.
Prairie's been up and growing for 4 years. We had a problem with Queen Anne's lace a year ago, and we actually picked most of it off by hand, so we took care of that problem. Last year, we had a problem with goldenrod. Probably had blown in from a neighboring field. We have two different kinds, very large in stature and then a smaller. But the large one is basically taking over the prairie, and we wondered if you had any comments or what we could do to control it.
Yeah, those are always questions. Well, one thing is cut the seed heads off, you know, chop them down before they go to seed so you at least prevent new seedlings. And I guess dig them out. I mean, I, you know, don't recommend putting pesticides down because, first of all, they are harmful to the bees and butterflies. They kill them. They also kill the surrounding plants. I mean, it's very difficult to aim a pesticide directly at the right plant. So they're kind of can kill a lot of the unintended plants around. So I'd say you just have to keep removing them. And another thing is very possibly in time they will be kept in check by the other plants. I've had that experience in this prairie that I have talked about a little before, that some of the plants I was kind of worried about started to have such a, you know, compete with them that they almost disappeared. I don't know if that would necessarily happen to the goldenrods that you have, you know. So in the meantime, I would just keep getting rid of, you know, them.
Especially cutting those seed heads. Especially cutting the seed heads.
Yeah, that'll at least prevent new plants from germinating.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll give the other natives a chance, a leg up on it. Thanks so much, Dan, for calling. Appreciate your call. We had Catherine on Facebook wondered about replacing, she's got a rose hedge and daylilies, and she's looking for a suggestion to replace a rose hedge and then something that would climb up the sunny side of her house. So is there a native climber?
Well, there, I must say there are a lot of native climbers. There's native clematis or clematis.
Mm-hmm. Clematis, some of them people call it.
Mm-hmm. We have virgin's bower that is, has little white flowers. Then there are honeysuckle vines that produce red, sort of red flowers and are very attractive to hummingbirds. So, I mean, you know, there are vines like that that one can definitely use instead of, what was the one that, that your caller had or your Facebook person? What was her vine?
She wondered if she didn't have one. She was wondering what she could plant to that would be a native that would climb.
Yeah.
Rose hedge was her other problem. She wanted to get rid of it and put something in that's native that would look nice and maybe replace a rose hedge.
And well, that, of course, there are native roses. I don't know. A lot of people don't know about that. But let me see here.
By the way, while you're looking, I just got a note from Kara from Aquatico wrote, we were talking about blooming and so forth, and she wrote on Facebook to say that her silver maple is already blooming.
Yes, and so is mine. It's terrible. Well, here's some examples. You know, a lot of people have, for hedges, this lady has roses. A lot of people have buckthorn, and they have other Rose of Sharon and forsythia and honeysuckle and privet. These are all non-native invasive plants. And so
terrible plants, most of them.
Yes, right. And barberry is a terrible, Japanese barberry is just horrendous. And burning bush and cotani ester and boxwood. All of these are non-native, mostly invasive plants that are obviously very important. Popular and which really are invasive. I mean, when you talk about cup plant, that is at least a native plant that is aggressive, but it isn't invasive. It doesn't take over like entire forest preserves the way these plants do. But some alternatives are plants like, might sound maybe not that common, but one can see if one can purchase some Carolina buckthorn. Carolina buckthorn is the thing. It's not the native buckthorn. It's great for a hedge. American black currant, American cranberry, chokeberry make beautiful hedges, beautiful flowers, beautiful berries that the birds will eat, elderberry, golden currant, nine bark is great, a great bush, but don't buy the ones with purple leaves because they are they're not really the natives anymore. They're cultivars or they're called nativars, and because they change the leaf from green to purple, it makes chemical changes in the plant, and the native insects can't use it as a host plant, and it deprives the birds of food for their babies. Service berries, there's short service berries, let's see, what else? Well,
you've given us a pretty good list there.
Hazelnut.
I like the service berries, too. They're fun.
Yeah, oh, they're beautiful. And fringe tree, or really sometimes fringe shrub, you could call it. So there's a lot of pretty beautiful shrubs that can be used for hedges.
You mentioned the Wild Ones, which you're right, it's a great organization. They're online. Gail in Milwaukee called in to recommend, or I think maybe sent an email to recommend visiting the Xerces Society website. It's xerces.org, and Xerces is spelled X-E-R-C-E-S. So Xerces Society, xerces.org for more information on plants and Pollinators, and I'm sure you're familiar with that organization.
It's a wonderful organization. Yes, it's you know, insects, and I mean, it's just, it's really becoming more relevant. I'm definitely a member of that, both of those organizations. It's a great organization for people to become familiar with and to join and support. By the way, the caller who has daylilies, you know?
Yeah.
One of my favorite native alternatives that I always enjoy showing people is I have a picture on one page of orange daylilies, which are invasive, by the way. Not all daylilies are considered invasive, but the orange and the yellow daylilies are the species.
Yeah.
And they are considered invasive. And then right opposite that, I have a beautiful picture of orange butterfly milkweed.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants some orange, beautiful color, they can choose orange butterfly milkweed, which is beautiful. I mean, it's like eye-popping. And, of course, it's one of the milkweeds that is the sole host plant for the monarch butterflies. And it's also, as they say, well-behaved. No, it has a deep taproot, and it does not spread by underground runners. So it's excellent for landscaping where people don't have a lot of room.
Charlotte, it's a great pleasure to be able to talk with you today. It's so much fun. Thank you so much. It's great to have you with us. Charlotte Edelman is the co-author with her husband, Bernard Schwartz, of The Midwestern Native Garden, an illustrated guide. And she's got a new book out as well that we'll post that up. Lexi Brode will post that up on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show so that you have a chance to look at that book as well. And Jennifer Dargan comes by as well to talk with me and with you during our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. And for this program, we're right about at the end of that drive, mm-hmm. Jennifer. And let me remind you, you count on WPR for great discussion. It's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And don't forget that matching grant.
Mm-hmm. Our dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 is still in effect. Plenty of room for you to get in. It's a generous match from current members, and it means that they'll match every dollar that you give.
And we already have about $900 contributed. That means all those contributors that's worth $1,800 right now. So it's wonderful. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So we really don't want to let any of that $2,500 go to waste. Double your support for the programs you love. Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I've really been enjoying and inspired by this conversation about what native plants you can use as alternatives to non-native plants. I want to get in my garden right now, but it's covered in snow. but this hour is really an example of the informative conversations that we have on the show.
Absolutely. I hope now you'll take a few minutes to make this hour and the many more hours to come possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're interested in playing a larger role as a Wisconsin Public Radio supporter. Well, the 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners who contribute $100 a month or more to support WPR programs.
Leadership Circle members want to make sure Wisconsin Public Radio programming will be here today and tomorrow and well into the future. You can increase your support to WPR by joining that 9XM Leadership Circle today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a big year for Wisconsin Public Radio. 2017 marks our 100th anniversary. In this membership drive, we thought it would be fun to offer a new version of an old favorite. Ask for your latest WPR t-shirt when you give $10 a month. We are all about Wisconsin, and so is this shirt. It has a really cool geometric design showing Wisconsin and the many connections between WPR and listeners. The shirts are dark blue with light blue printing and come in sizes small through 2XL. Show your support for radio you love with the new WPR t-shirt. Celebrate with us. Ask for yours now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan here to raise the money that keeps this station and this Garden Talk program on the air. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We don't care. We appreciate it, and we count on your gift.
We do, and we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $25. I'm sorry,
$2,500
in effect right now, and we don't want to leave any of this money on the table. It's a really great time to pledge. Current members are going to double every dollar that you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So please double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every week we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. Some guests are horticulture professors who can, answer a wide variety of general questions. Others specialize in lawns or trees or native plants and a whole lot more. I hope you'll support this program where you get so much gardening information all year long with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors for various reasons. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one way to make a difference and help your local community.
It certainly is. Your pledge today not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives others a chance to discover WPR, make that difference with just $5, $10 a month, whatever amount that's comfortable for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I was trying to figure out the number of hours is why there was a little pause. I was doing the math in my head. You know, it's at least right around 80 hours. If you think over the course of a year, the Garden Talk show is on 52 shows of an hour and a half.
Right.
So do the math on that. It's got to be around 80 hours of great information about gardening.
All year long. And people say, how can you do a garden show in Wisconsin all year long? But it works out. There's the putting the garden to bed. There's the getting excited about the next season. We talk about when the seed catalogs come out.
We review the last year's garden. By the time we get done with talking about seed catalogs, we're ready to get
rolling
again.
Yep, people love it. And Wisconsin Public Radio is turning 100 this year. That's an exciting reason to give. It's a time to really reflect on all the amazing stories and conversations that you've heard this year. As a member, you can really make that possible.
And you can do it with your contribution right now. I'm looking, we got about $800 out there yet of that $2,500 match, and we're running out of time. We won't be talking a whole lot longer. So if you have not contributed yet, or maybe you want to add to your contribution, this is really the time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
This pledge drive ends tomorrow. I don't know how many more challenge grants we'll have, but the fact is there's one going on right now, so you should pledge right now. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio is a great thing to do. It just takes a few minutes of your time. We're just going to ask for your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. It's as simple as that.
And we're at about $200. We still have two. If you've got a $200 contribution you want to give, quick, do it right now, and it'll turn into $400 right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Boy, thank you so much for all of the for your contribution, for everybody who has contributed. We really, really appreciate it. If you haven't contributed yet, please do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for listening.